left off yesterday. We were getting towards the end of the Machlokas, so we're going to keep going. Wednesday. Sam, you weren't finished with your duty, so finish the Machlokas. Alright, so the first question was Chalev Achoso Hagadola. What is Achoso Hagadola? So it's a machlokas. Rashi is two lashonos. He prefers the latter. Context in the Mechilta would also, I suspect, suggest the latter, which is Achoso Hagadola means literally its big sister. And the assumption here is that a mother and its offspring might be born in the same halachic year, but two sisters are not going to be. On the assumption that, not sure, I don't know 100% that this is true, but that a ewe can actually reach the age of puberty between age of 5 and 8 months, I think. So it is not totally out of the realm of possibility that it might, if we were born just at the beginning of the halachic year, which is either after Rosh Chodesh El or after Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, it might actually give birth within the year of its birth and both within the same halachic year. Why? The reason the cutoff date matters is because Meister, all Meisters, cannot be Ma'aser Mipero Shanazo al Chareta, and therefore if the Vlad was born if two animals are born within the same year, you can put them together to be Mitzarif to have a Maitrumas and Meisters. And in the case of Meister Behema, what that means is that if the animals are what we call Mitnasos Lidir Lehisaser, they are brought into, gathered into the corral in order to have them go out one by one, pass one by one, and tap every tenth one with the red marker. So it is conceivable that one could join together an animal and its mother in the year, but not an animal and its sister. Now, the general assumption here, I don't know if I said this in Shiur's day, I know I said it in Seder yesterday and today to a couple of you, is that what the Gemara is looking at now, it is working with the assumption that the Basar B'Cholav is almost kind of like a Kelayim. It's like a Kelayim. In other words, you're not allowed to mix two things. And the assumption is, to the extent that two animals are less mixable, it would be more likely that you could not cook the Basar of one and the Cholav of the other. So in this case, the mixing, we're going to see the Babli has more expanded versions of a few of these, but in this case, what we are mixing together, what we want to mix together is a mother and its offspring, so they combine in order to be in the same deer. And the answer is we can do that. What about an animal and its sister? It's another member of its species but of a certain age. The answer is, well, they're not nechanasos deer lesaser. So the Bechelta wants to make a kal v'chomer here, which is that if the animal in the milk of its mother is aser, even though the animal and its mother are nechnasos ledir lesaser, then kal v'chomer, the animal and achoso hagedola, which cannot be nechnasos ledir together lesaser, certainly the basar of one in the chalav of the other would be aser.
What's the second interpretation of achoso hagedola? You said the first one was literally the older sister. What's the second one?
A para, a bovine. And achoso ketana. Here they don't talk about achoso ketana, but in the Bavli they do. And achoso ketana would be a rachel, would be a sheep. The fact that the Mechilta, by the way, leaves out one and not the other, what would that suggest to you? Why does it talk about Achoso Katana? Let me put it this way. I don't think it suggests that one, yeah?
For starting with a Gedi, which is the smallest species, that could be why. Or
like, I don't know why you assume a Gedi is smaller than a Rachel.
From what I've seen,
that
opinion.
Goats and sheep? They're the same size. I mean, you can get bigger goats and bigger sheep. You can breed Costco goats. Costco goats, not only do they come two in a pack, but they're also bigger. Yes.
If it's an age thing, by learning Achoso Gedola, then you're ready learning Achoso Ketana.
So if you understand that it's a function of age thing, then achosu v'gon achosu ketana, there's actually no difference between the two. So that's one way. Now, what if it's para and rachel? What then?
Could be that goats and sheep are already kind of in the same category. They're both sown, and so like it could be that you don't need an extra limud for achosu ketana.
You can do better than that.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah. Would the kal v'chomer be shayach by achosu ketana if achosu ketana is a sheep? The Torah has only two categories when it comes to ma'aser behema, bakar and son. Son includes keves and eis, and therefore kevasim and eisim are nechnasim ledir l'sasim together. Therefore, it doesn't matter which approach you take, there's a reason why the Mechilta would not talk about achosu ketana. One is because there is no such thing as achosu ketana, because chronologically speaking, you know, they're the same thing. In other words, older and young mean two different years. But even if it were par and rachel, there's also, the Mechilta is not going to quote this as a kal v'chomer, because the kal v'chomer doesn't work, because a son, sheep and goats are nechnasim ledir l'sasim. Okay, continue. Okay, so this is a very clever structural kal v'chomer, which is the following. You're not allowed, what is hitir pri and pri b'shchita?
You can slaughter
two siblings on the same day. However, you can't slaughter a mother and its offspring on the same day. Maybe a father too, but that's not as clear. So, if you matir pri and pri b'shchita, but you can't cook the pri with the mother, in pri im ha'em, and how is that? You're not allowed to cook. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to shech the pri ma'im. So in this case, where you're not allowed to cook pri or pri vivishal, which is?
The mother's offspring and the mother's milk.
Milk, right? They are both products. They are both yotzei min ha para. One is the offspring and one is the milk. If you can't cook them together, certainly you can't cook the pri im ha'im. The pri ma'im would be the cow or the animal with its milk. Okay, fine. Continue. Okay, so I don't know if pre-maim is precise here, but if you have, you want to cook sheep in goat's milk. How do you know that that's also? Because it only says give you a milk. So then Bryce says, what if a case where pre is what the bervia mean with a species? Nonetheless, you're not allowed to cook that species, the milk with the gave off the milk. So in this case, where pre and pre is nesa bervia, you can't cross a goat and a sheep. That's an isser of kilayim. That's an isser of harkavas behema. So then, in addition, nesa bervia, certainly you can't cook the milk of one with the meat of the other. Okay? Fine. So that's another lemon. Next.
Doesn't this show a little bit that the Mechilta is following the second version of Rashi? If the previous limud, Achuta Gedola, means other species.
It sounds like it, yes.
Then
it sounds like it. Except that the right. Yes, that's correct. Continue.
Except it doesn't say Achuta.
Correct. Well, it terms it differently, right? But in other words, never addressed the Rechelim part, right? So you can argue both ways. Okay, then, continue. Okay, so this seems to be a totally different limud. Right? This is a limud that says, why is Lo Sfashel Gedi Balachaleimo include all animals, all include Bakar? Right, because it has a lot of milk. Who does this sound like, by the way? Rashbam. It sounds a little like Rashbam's. I don't know if the Rashbam was aware of this mechol, but it sounds like that Rashbam, that theory that a goat produces typically two kids in a shot, and and it therefore has a lot more milk, and the practice would be to slaughter one of the gedis, one of the kids, and then use the excess milk of the mother in which to cook it. That sounds a little bit like this. Okay. Rabbi Omer.
Rabbi Omer,
Lamar
Kani.
Oh, but never
on the lawn. Oh, Malam, the shore, the Kesev, the A's, the Kasamidabar, Avkam, the shore, the Kesev, the A's, the Kasamidabar.
Okay, Shor, Chesev, Lays, Kiv, Alev, Yashavasim, and Tachas, Emo, and Los Fashel, Gibi, Rachel, Emo. So just as Shor, Chesev, the A's is the Yisra, Voso, Espino, so to Emo by Gidi is Ladach Gidi, but it includes everybody. Okay, fine, continue. Other isurim, there's no prohibition on cooking. I didn't know saying. It's not basar b'chalav at asur l'basher, but lo shara kol yisurin shebetorah. It's a strange kind of limud. Why? In other words, what does it mean you're not allowed to cook shari yisurin?
In just nevela,
you're not allowed to cook nevela. This kal v'chomer doesn't make sense.
Nevela and
chela. Right. Sounds like you could cook nevela and chela, two yisurin together, because it says is there asur b'natzah, is there asur b'fnei atzma. Right, so two things that are mutter you can't cook, certainly two things that are usser you can't cook. So therefore, Talmud Lomar...
Wait, both basar and chalav are allowed...
Or mutter.
Are mutter on their own, but nevela you can't eat on its own anyway.
My point is, what would the analogy be to nevela? Is it just cooking nevela with b'fnei atzmo?
No, but you're allowed to cook basar b'fnei atzmo also.
No, I understand, but they want to make an argument... You would have thought, you need a pasuk to tell you that Los Vashel Gedi Bachalei Mo, somehow this is a miyut. Because if it weren't for the extra pasuk somehow, you would have assumed that if Basar Bachalav, where each of the ingredients is mutter, you're still not allowed to cook them together. Anytime you have an Isser, you can't cook it. I presume it means anytime you have two Isser, you're not allowed to cook them together. So let's take Nevelim Chela, you know, or Chazir and a Trefa. You can't cook them together. You would have thought. It's to say you can't cook it bifnei atzmo. That doesn't. How does that follow from basar and chalav? Okay, and then finally the last part. Los vashel gidi b'chalav imo. Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, good question.
Yeah. This looks like a circular limud. Like that. It's assuming a premise. It's drawing a kalachomer from a premise that's basically a pasuk and using the same pasuk to refute that.
No, I think you have to assume it's based upon an extra pasuk. That's what my assumption is. You see?
With the imas there, Josh, again, so the assumption is that because they can be misaster together, that means they're almost like the same.
They're more mixable than other things, right? In other words, the more barriers that stand between you, the more kilayim-like you are, and the less you should be allowed to do. So the last limud is Los Vashel Gidi B'chalav Imo.
We skip the brackets?
I read the brackets for you, and I just read the last line. Ainley!
Los Vashel Gidi B'chalav Imo, Ainley El B'chulin, Ngoshim Nayim, Marim Nasim B'chulin, Nasir B'ngoshim. Lo, Imr B'chulin, Shekain Asar Malika B'chulin, Tarim B'ngoshim, Shelo Asar Malika B'ngoshim.
Okay, so the starting point was... why not? Not really, it might be kind of a mematzim. Then no, because you know what? Chulin has some things that are usher that mukdashim doesn't. What's the example?
Malika,
which is a funny example. Why is it a funny example? What is Malika?
It's on birds only, not on
you're not
going to
put it on a cow.
Okay, start is only on birds, and in birds, in Chulin, it's in lieu of Shechita.
Is it Asur?
What?
Yeah. Is it ever Asur?
Well, it renders it Nevela.
It renders it Nevela.
But it's not Asur.
That's what it means. It means it's Oser, it makes it Asur. Asur to eat. So the question, not our question at the moment, is to what extent Malika is just this, it's still a funny Kal v'chomer, to what extent is Malika simply a Shechita by a bird of Kachim.
Well,
And I will tell you that the Gemara in Yevamos, in the second parak, has this third parak, in the Sugya Beinu Shachal Lisser, so it sounds as if a zar is a discussion. What about if a zar eats from a chatas ha'of that they did malika on? So a zar is not allowed to eat a chatas, so that's one iser. So whatever the iser of the chozal le'yochal kodesh, that's not really the malkar, but whatever it is. But what? Here's the second question. He might get malchus for eating kachem kachem, which he's not allowed to. Does he get malchus for eating the vela also? In other words, does the malika only work legabe kohanim? Okay, anyway, so the Gemara says, you see you have a kula by muktashim that you don't have by chulim, and therefore, I could have given you a different one. Can you come up with any other chumash you have by chulim?
Can you do this?
You're allowed to eat chulim in the Azara. You can't bring a behemoth at home, but you can bring chulim food into the Azara to eat. You can bring the mustard and the pickles.
And
the
you're allowed to shash chulim in the Azara.
What?
You're not allowed to shash chulim in the Azara.
So there I'm going to respond yes, but in other words, each one has its domain. That's my same tiny against Malika, but there it's even more glaring. The Gemara, in fact, the Makor, one of the Makoros suggests that the chulim bazara, somewhere in the Gemara, is the mas shali b'shalach asar, af shalach b'shali asar. Okay, but fine, that's not bad. Okay, what else? The Zro Lechayayim and Keva. They know he by Chulin and they're not knowing by Mikdashim. Probably Rashis, I guess, too. That's a given. But there you're not allowed to shear the sheep, so that's a different issue. But Zro Lechayim and Keva, it's knowing by Chulin, not knowing by Mikdashim. Okay, therefore.
And I'll leave it at this side. Wouldn't you instantly expect a rejoinder that, well, Kutchim has many other Chulmers that aren't knowing
about Chulin? No, but since. Yes, but that makes the kal v'chomer pricha, because you know that there are chomers by kachim, and yet there are some things that will make it by chulin. Who's to say which category this falls into?
Right, so usually the kal v'chomer just would break apart, and we would attempt to use another lima.
Right.
We do.
So how do you know that it applied by mekdashim? Kal v'chomer, you need a separate pasuk. You can't do it from a binyan or a kal v'chomer from chulin. It works perfectly.
Do we read?
Talmud loma, read.
Talmud loma.
Okay. In other words, because it says, "Reishis bikreshem tavi bikre masacha tavi bei tavi beis Hashem alokecha lo sfashel gediva chalegima." And in fact, if you want to note, there are many cases where the beis is left off, the preposition is left off, like v'akol nishma beis paro lemor means beis paro. So therefore, it's like they're reading it.
Do you have to do that, or could you just say
you could do without it, but I think that's a nice little twist. Okay, let's move to the discussion of the parashanim very, very briefly. I don't want to spend a lot of time here.
Why, when we end up Kesavim Mechilta, is there a different kind of ending?
So it's a question I can't answer, but as you know, the Babli takes all the questions. Every time the Babli asks a question, why did the Gemara have a pasuk? We learn it from a Kal v'chomer. In every case, in many of these cases, the Mechilta leads to the Kal v'chomer.
I asked a different question. Why is it, Chasal to Mesechet the Kasbah as opposed to Hadramach Mesechet the Kasbah?
Oh.
It's a very different, yeah. I mean, that sounds like a more interesting question.
Yeah, I know. I'm interested in the Bench Halacha and the Babli versus Mechilta. Okay. I'd probably look pens. I bet you if you look in manuscripts, I wouldn't be surprised if you find different things, but I have absolutely no idea. But the other question really interests me, which is the totally different style of Medrash, the same Medrash Halacha with different conclusions, not different conclusions in din, but in other words, you'll find that they say, and then the end of the version of the Babli, how does it end in the Mechilta? It doesn't. In other words, it ends that they made a Kal v'chomer period. In the Babli, it says, Talmud Omar X. So the Babli says, 1 second, you made a Kal v'chomer, why do you need a pasuk? And they go on to explain what the pircha in the Kal v'chomer is. Right? That's going to happen a repeated number of times in the Babli on the very same Midrashei Halacha. But okay, it's going to take us a little time to get there. Okay, so let's just talk about, so we can get our 0.067 credits of Bible in Yeshiva College. For those who go to Yeshiva College or went to Yeshiva College even retroactively. Okay. We'll see if Daniel and I are still on talking terms when it comes to the end of the year. All right. I know where he's headed. All right. Anyway. So Daniel, please read. Since God only knows what kind of Bible you got in Brandeis. Okay.
I see that Bible in Brandeis.
Smart man.
I work with debate studies major. Anyways.
Smart man. It's for men. Okay, go ahead.
Rishi Bukhari and Madcha to be Beit Hashem Okecha, Lot to Vashal to be Bukhari, our uncle says. Rishi Bukhari Arach Tete Le Beit Mikdisha and Hashem Okecha, Lot Techlun Basar Bukhala.
Okay. So Unklus translates Los Vashal to be Bukhari, or Los Techlun Basar Bukhala, and that's how he translates it all three times. Okay, Rashi writes, where did Rashi get this from? Yeah. Now notice, by the way, how many times in the Torah does it say Gedi Izim? How many Inyanim? In which does it say it?
Wait, that's two different questions.
How many are there in the Torah?
There's two places.
Two. There are a few repetitions within the places, but basically the only two places in the Torah. So writes, I think, Tosos. Which is kind of funny, because Rashi forwards it, Ata Motze Bekama Makomas Batorah. Shekos of Gedi, what's the parashah? I'll say, no, it's not true. It's only in two places. You know there are only really two sugyos, two inyanim in the Torah. Why? Because the Gemara's whole premise that Ashrei Kshuma Ban Kechad is based upon that. Right? You trust the Gemara's bikis. So it's just Rashi's formulation is funny. It comes straight out of the Gemara, but he says, Bekama Makomas, and it's not really Bekama Makomas Torah. It's in two places in the Torah, and that hence the question of the Gemara. Well, anyway, the discussion of Ashrei Kshuma Ban Kechad. What?
Does Kama have to be at least three?
Would you say, and I think the answer is yes, would you say there are a number of sugyas in Shas? What?
I'm just being nitpicky.
I think you say, well, we say, if you were to say, tell me in English, I would say, there are a number of rooms in this building that don't have working audiovisual equipment. If there were two rooms, I'm making them, I'm not, maybe there are none, maybe most of them don't work, I don't know, this one works. So my question is, when you say a number of, doesn't a number mean three at least?
Is Kami a number or is Kami multiple?
I think comma translates to more than two. I think comma is several. Right. I think that's what it is. Okay. Anyway, you want to defend Rashi. That's nice of you. Fine. Then Rashi says, right, Rashi has adopted one opinion from the Chilta, which is one opinion in the Bavli. Okay. Fine. Rashbam writes, This actually, even though he doesn't quote it, maybe he knows the Mechilta. It is very possible he's aware of the Mechilta, and that's what he's effectively incorporating here. That they take the extra gedi and the extra milk, and they make a nice dish out of it. Okay.
Moshe Pirshi Rabbi Tain and Bishchita Kulin, is that referring to Gemara or?
Well, we haven't gotten there yet.
I know, but I'm just saying that does that suggest that maybe that he did know about the Mechilta, or is that referring to a different?
No, read it. Let's read till the end. We'll get on. Lametcha.
I'm
sorry.
I think I'm up to Gnai.
I'm sorry, Gnai, son. Gnai, what
happened? Gnai, who had a Rublia, Verav, Tanu, Lecho, Chala, Vaim, Imabayim.
It is something just wrong about it.
What is Rublia, Verav, Tanu?
Rav Tanud is like your hunger,
gluttony.
Yeah. Why? What's that? Ravenous. Let's see. That's the word.
Great
translation. And Belia, in other words, it's like your chaya. Belia here brings to mind Lachin Herchiva Shol Nafsha Ufarafia Livlichok. Okay, gluttony is not a bad word. It's more than gluttony, because gluttony just suggests an insatiable appetite, but this is particularly cruel. Okay, the Dugmazo. Okay. Now, by the way, just not to prompt an extended discussion, but is the Rashbam's position here the Rambam's position on Oso Espino, or the Ramban's position on Oso Espino? Alright, you have to, what's the Rambam's position and what's the Ramban's position? Rambam's position is that if there's a reason for the mitzvah, it's because God had mercy upon the animals. And Ramban, and there are two deres in the Gemara, and Ramban categorically rejects the Rambam's approach. He says, that it's a question of the correct and the incorrect interpretation. It's not about mercy for the animals, it's about mercy for the human beings. Now, which would you say is Rashbam's position? Nah.
Sounds like it's the person.
It's the person. It's the character of the person. It's not about the animals. It's not about the animals. It's about the character of the person. Right? To be truthful, Judah, to slaughter, if you just take the basa b'chalav analogy, right? You're allowed to slaughter the kid, you're allowed to drink the milk. What is more, is it more cruel to the animal now that you cook the meat and the milk? Right? Whereas Osa
Bespino,
at least. No, I'm just saying, what the Rashbam ties it together. Right, the Rambam, by the way, has a totally different interpretation, you know, which is, what's the Rambam's interpretation of Basar B'Challah?
It's what non-Jews would do.
It was a Chok Lavo Dezara. A little more on that later. Okay, continue. Now I think that the Moshe Pirshu Rabbi is firstly Shchita Schulin is the name of the Masechta, because the other, what is the name of the first Masechta in what's that? No, what'd you say? Repeat it. No, the name of the first Masechta in Sefer Kachim is Shchita Kachim, and this Masechta is called Shchita Schulin. Let's see that the Rishonim have this as the name. So when the Rashbam attributes it to Moshe Pirshu Rabbeinu saying that this is a little bit like his apology. He wants to look firm, you know. So he says, oh, let's all say it. It only applies to the last line. V'hu hadin l'chol basa b'chalav ki Moshe Pirshu Rabbeinu. That's the only part that's in Chazal. The rest of it is all the Rashbams. Okay, and Ibn Ezra says, okay, so the minhag is that people would buy, people who don't have sheep, they go buy milk in the shuk, and the milk is mixed from many, many different sources.
Seos.
The plural of Seth. Okay. Ulai. Okay. So this, Ibn Ezra, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but Ibn Ezra should have stuck to writing biblical commentaries and stayed away from halachic analysis here. This is pretty wild, okay? Because he says, "B'chol safek."
B'chol safek shu min haTorah.
Wow, this is pretty wild. Ibn Ezra says the following: really, min haTorah, you're allowed to cook milk and meat. However, since people typically buy milk and it was produced mixed from different sources, like it's industrial, therefore we're afraid that you don't know which milk belongs to which animal, and you're gonna. And you're going to end up cooking its kiddi, its offspring, in that milk, and then he's making the rice of the chumrah. This kind of learn. It's wild.
Not to mention, like, parish, so, parish.
Correct. In other words, by all the principles of Yeridah that we know, of Safek and Rov, of course it's mutter. And besides which, Rambam certainly would have taken issue with this line of making the rice of the chumrah. Minat Torah, that's for sure. Okay. Yehuda. Oh no. Is this going to fall in the category of Azlinan Basar Shema?
No, the main problem with Ibn Ezra is that it would mean that any Safek and Basar B'Challah would be the cooler to be Safek Seika. I think that's the real problem. The other problem, that's why it doesn't make any sense.
Because
you were saying, there are good reasons, because, like today, let's say you're in a village, and there are, I don't know, 20 cows, 20 sheep in the village. The milk you buy is 1/20th that sheep. It's not much milk. You have 1/20th.
Excuse me? Of course it's batel. That's only chumrat the rabbanon. It's batel chabetray.
Right, so you'll say it's only derabanan, but still chumrat, we'll still say it's aser. If we really say it's not batel, you can derabanan, it'll still be aser.
How do you explain the mitzvah of the Torah that way?
Yeah, well, no, he said the mitzvah of the Torah is only in
Oh my.
Yeah, I think there are obvious problems,
but I don't think there's
problems.
The obvious problem is straight up.
So.
Wow, okay. Fine. Listen, I'm a big Ibn Ezra fan, but you want to have open season on this Ibn Ezra, it's okay with me. This is pretty wild. And then he continued. Yes, Daniel, I'm sorry.
I'm going to ask another follow-up question later, two lines later.
Get ready.
Well, he's assuming
you had... Did you ever think of putting your ingenuity towards nuclear fusion? Okay, go ahead.
He's assuming that if there was no subject, like let's say you own them both, and you
knew, right? It sounds like it would be mutter.
It's Jerabanon or it's mutter. It Finish
I don't know. I you can't ask that question of Ibn Ezra. He's a biblical commentator, so I assume he's speaking on a Torah level. But it's wild.
But the part of the reason I'm asking is 2 lines later when he says, is that just the same thing he said before?
Well, let's read it. V'nei gama yishme'elim.
V'nei gama yishme'elim modim. Ki mivushal agdi v'chalevi mo shehid v'aledet shaveh. As hu yoter arev. V'akadov v'iber al ha'hobah.
So if the Shach told us Shabbat, I assume means that both it's pre and pre, right? Asu Yoser Arev, okay.
Oh, that's
which is pretty wild also because
is that mean it's sweeter or it's
yeah,
more easily mixable?
Yeah, what is the Arev?
No, I think it's more pleasant, mm-hmm. Right? Which is why I mean because this is also a little crazy, right? I mean this is you people a way Ibn Ezra is reading that the Arabs believe that if you mix dafka the milk of the cow with the cow's gedi, that's really good. Maybe for a sadist, that's really good. I would imagine for the rest of the human beings, you couldn't tell the difference whether it was this gedi in the other cow's milk and this gedi in this milk. I obviously, there probably are snippets of DNA that you could determine that maybe milk has a relationship to this calf, but it seems kind of wild to think that a human being is going to be able to distinguish.
Fela. A human being can't distinguish.
Fela Arava'a. There we go. Judah?
Muslims hold by Basra Chalab, or is it just because that they have an issue with the Chalab?
I have no idea. Any experts in Sharia here? Okay.
So
anyway, that's what Ibn says. But he says, Vinei Hadmonim.
Yeah,
Hadmonim
is Halech. Chmiru El Asir Gol Sabeg, Rasu Basra Chalab. Wait, that's the question. I don't know what this line is. It's referring to.
So he's explaining. They will not.
Is this the same thing, or this is just like a.
I think he would say that they've gone further. This is now the Rabbanon, that any Basar, even when you know. Even when
you
know.
And even when they're different species.
Right, obviously. Right. And none of this makes any sense. How can you say this?
Are they saying that the rabbis made it deraisa?
That's what it sounds like.
Well, unless they had money, they're like.
This is
crazy.
This
wait,
is,
why,
this
how
is
it
crazy.
The rabbis made it deraisa?
What?
So Rabbanon, according to, what do you say?
No, it's like.
Yeah.
What's
yeah.
Wrong
with you're telling me you read the Mechilta and you read the Bavli and you say, oh, yes, cooking a sheep in goat's milk, that's an issa deraisa. Wow.
But aren't there times when like, Parshanu HaMikra is, where they think Pshat is just
Ibn Ezra, so when Rashbam would write this, it would be Pshat.
Right.
Remember the rule of thumb. I'm going to quote it my way, not the last time it was quoted by my Rebbe. Remember that Rashi's Kulo Emes and Rabban is Rubo Emes and Ibn Ezra's Rubo Sheker and Rashbam is Kulo Sheker. Right? And that reflects, that famous line reflects, I believe that's the correct way, not the last two reversed. It reflects the reverence of those Parshanim towards Chazal and Agadah and Chazal and Halacha. So Rashi will quote a Pshat. Rashi never really argues on Chazal. Ramban will not generally reject the Halacha of Chazal but, as Pshat, but will occasionally reject the Agadah. Ibn Ezra wholesale rejects the Agadah of Chazal, but says, he swears in this Hakdama, that whatever the Matikim say is Pshat. Whatever Chazal say is Pshuto Shemikra. And Rashbam, who was one of the Balei HaTosos, the Rashbam in his Perush on Chumash says that doesn't care. He wants to explain Achar, you know, Derech Eretz Pshuto Shel Mikra. That's Rashbam's approach. So Rashbam wouldn't be surprising if Ibn Ezra is the one who swears up and down that he's very firm, right? And his interpretation here is totally absurd. It's against everything Chazal. You could argue as a Pshat. It is a Pshat perspective. Also, if you wanted the peace of the Arabs, you could argue as the Pshat. The idea that you ma'arev different things and it's because of a chumrah, that's not pshat. Right? He's trying to connect the halacha to the psukim, and it's just crazy. Yehuda?
I think he might be saying it's like some interpretation of halacha Shabbos, where it is there, right? But because Chazal determined, the Torah left it to Chazal to determine how to
No, but you know, you wouldn't say that. No, so this is not moment. Listen, if you want to go down a different vantage point, you could go down the vantage point of Gzeirah Daraisa. Right? For the Rambam, let's say this, or Lo Sikravu. Or Bal Yira Bal Yimotze, I think it is an Abba, maybe it's an Abbas Rab. Is that an Abbas Rab Nasa? And someone suggested it might be Bal Yira Bal Yimotze is kind of like a Gzeir Midaraisa on Achilas Chametz, but it's Midaraisa. If you wanted to argue that, but that's certainly not what Chazal think. That's for sure.
I'm talking about Gzeir Midaraisa. I'm talking about where it's.
I know what you're saying. What you're saying doesn't fit at all because then you don't talk about Safek. One could say that the Chachamim you can say Lo Masar Na Kasav Elul Chachamim to say that Gedi. Let me just explain for those who didn't catch it. There are a number of areas in halacha which we treat as doraisa, not all rishonim do, where the details are certainly not in the Torah, and we apply a principle that the Gemara has in one place, which itself is a machlokas harishonim, whether it's really doraisa or not. the case of Meleches Chalanoi, the Gemara in Chagiga, says that the term, in other words, on Shabbos or Meleches Asur, on Yom Tov, all Melech except Meleches, some or all Meleches Ochel Nefesh is permissible. On Chalamoed, so there's a stira whether or not, whether it's is Bechlalis Melecha or not. So some Rishonim say that all Meleches, so Chachavim permitted, so on Chalamoed, what is generally permitted is Letzarach HaMoed and Davar HaOved. So the question is the prohibition on all other Melech on Chalamoed, is that the Raisa or the Rabbanan? The Gemara Chagiga has a drasha, and it says, Halamasarna Kasav Ela L'Chachamim, to the side. So some Rishonim say, it is the Raisa, but it was up for the Chachamim to be Koveya. Incidentally, I'm going to say this quickly, if you get it, great, but Rav Shechter has said, I don't, haven't seen this inside, it might be, I don't know if it's the Chazon Ish, if it's Rav Yochanan Wasserman, we have a concept of, in Dinim de Rabbanan, that there's certain Dinim de Rabbanan that are unchangeable. The Yud Chestav or Beishamai, and Beis Hillel, they argued about, and Beis Shammai won on that particular day. So the Rambam, there's a machlokas rishon on what that means, Yud Chestav, but the Rambam understands that there's a whole category of siyag, of tzeros, that no Beis Din, is, no matter how great they are, can overturn once they've been instituted. So the question is the following. If a Beis Din is allowed to overturn earlier the Oraisa interpretations of a previous Beis Din, then how can the Din Rabbanan be more chamer than the Oraisa? Or put the way of Shechler, as I say, ask the question, called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Oraisa Tikkun, what is the model mid the Oraisa for tzeros that are irrevocable? The answer that he gives is that things that Allah Masar and Hakasav al Hachamim, once the Chachamim, a particular generation, are Koveya them, those become immutable. So he would say that once those Rishonim who hold that Melechas Chalamoid is the Raisa, once the Chachamim, one particular Kufa decided, this is the kind of Melechas Asur, that's the kind that's Mutter, it is never changeable. That's the one, anyway, putting that aside, that's the one case where the Gemara has explicitly this concept, Lo Masar and Hakasav al Hachamim, but it's Machlokas Rishonim, whether the whole Issur is the Raisa de Rabbanah. But this idea gets applied in other areas. Two other areas that, maybe three other areas I mentioned quickly. You can probably find 10 other examples. Number one, Hilchas Avelis. Is a big machlokes harishonim line break, right? Whether or not the Gaonim and Chachmei Sfarad hold that Avelis Yom Rishon is the Raisa. Balei Atosus Chachmei Ashkenaz hold that it's only the Rabbanan. We won on this one, by the way. Just so you know, the Mechaber was almost moda, he was forced to admit. But if you hold it's the Raisa, what's the Raisa? So the answer is the whatever the Chachamim would kovea, to be the dinim of Avedos, so on the Yom Rishon, that is a din d'oraisa. Or, there's a machlokas harishonim on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat and drink. Everybody agrees to that. That's in Issur Min HaTorah. The Mishnah also says you're not allowed to be engaged in Sicha, in Rechitza, in Ilas Asano, in Tashra Shamita. So the question is, what is the status of those Isurim? So the Tosfos Yishonim in the beginning of Parak Yoma says, there's only the Bar Rabbanon, it's only an Asmachta, whatever Psukim the Gemara quotes, that's why there's no Kares, and any Machos would be Machos and Argus. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah writes, the Ran quotes it there on the Rif in the 8th Parak in Yoma, says that the Shari Nurim is Aron Issur D'Oraisa, but there's no Kares. So where, so it's part of the definition, Hichol Nefesh Sher Lo Suneh. Where does it say in the Torah? The answer is, the Ran I think explained, Lo Masarana Kasav HaChachamim, to decide what is in the category of Inui on Yom Kippur and what is not. And finally, one example relevant to us in Yeridea later in the year, is in Nevein L'Mutter B'Hanah?
Yes.
Okay, are you allowed to open up an Avela shop? The answer is no. Based upon a Mishnah in Shvius in the 7th parak, the din is that it's asur to engage in kola b'ma'achalos asuros. You cannot, it's one thing to get hana, maybe as Rabbi Yehuda says, and maybe Machlokas, if you were hunting and you happen to catch a non-kosher animal, you can sell it, but you cannot make that your primary business or occupation. So there's a simon kuf tes or yud zayin, I forget which one, that we will pass through briefly. So the question is, what is this din? There are exceptions. If you're not selling the animal for meat, if you're selling it, you raise horses or pigs because you want to sell footballs to the NFL. You need the leather. Okay, you need the, they probably don't make them out of pigskins anymore. But okay, you want to sell it for leather. You want to sell it as work animals. So you raise horses, or if it's an issur d'rabbanan to eat, so that's also forget that part. Okay, or chaylev nevelin chaylev treifa. You're allowed to engage in business and sell. Not like four exceptions to the rule. So the question is, what is this issur? So it appears to be a machlokas harishonah, whether it's an issur d'oraisa. But Lo Masarna Kasav El Chachamim to decide what type is what is called Tzchora, what is not called Tzchora. And some say that no, it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan in the first place. So we have this concept. That's what Yehuda is suggesting here. The problem is that Ibn Ezra doesn't really frame it in those terms. He frames it in terms of Safek and being Machmel Safek. That's not Lo Masarna Kasav El Chachamim.
I mean, the other one,
Ashbam
could never have witnessed.
What?
Ashbam could never have witnessed Ezra. Because it shows not only. The problem isn't only that he's saying something ridiculous. The problem is he's saying something using halachic concepts.
I was gonna. I understand that. No, I was gonna say. I don't want to. Again, I'm a bit. You know, I have enormous reverence for Ibn Ezra, but Rashbam knew how to learn. So, Ibn Ezra. It's just unbelievable reading this. I don't. It's part of a question. What was the Torah curriculum? Ibn Ezra obviously was a brilliant parshan with an incredible push for language. He does make it into Shas in two places. It's the same place. We have the same tosis. They quote Ibn Ezra on the Sukkim and Yeshua about Chadash when they, you know, Laharasa Pesach when they, the beginning of Yeshua. But that's the only place I know that Ibn Ezra gets quoted in halachic literature. But this is wild. Okay. Now, what's even wilder is the parish in the parish Akatsar, the one that Ibn Ezra rejects. Okay.
Should I finish the
Arach? No. Continue. Go to Amram Achishim.
Amram Achishim. Ki gedim gzeirat megadim mezelo yitachin.
Yeah, Ibn Ezra is right. These guys don't know how to learn. They didn't know grammar either. Okay. What was their redeeming merit? I don't know. He says it can't be. Ki?
Ki mem meged or maged?
Meged.
Ki mem meged.
Single is meged.
Shoresh.
Yeah, no, there's the mem of meged is the shoresh. It's not me, God. It's not gimel dalet. So you can't have kidei zim. Mems is a general rule, don't drop. Except for, of course, b'kivri asher, those of you who took intro with me certainly know this. B'kivri asher karisi li beretz kanan. What's pshat in karisi? First pshat is dig. That's pshuta shemikra. Then, agad anu ashevis l'shon hamikra is he sold. And Amar Rabbi Akiva, Shekin Korim Bekrache Hayam, Lemechira, Kira. See, the mem props. I'm not talking about that now. But anyway, Ibn Ezra was correct. The mem of Meged is part of the Shoresh. Okay, so by the way, is the mem of Mishmane. Okay, continue. Lashon Rabim.
Lashon Rabim Wa'ad, what does that mean? La'ed?
Yeah. What's the plural? Yeah. As opposed to Didayim. Okay, but Amma, Ibn Ezra chose to write cryptically generally.
What does that mean?
The proof that it's not, the proof that they're not the same root is the plural. Ulashon Rabim Le'ed is a proof. Okay. All right, now, Amar. Okay, it means to ripen, right? That's the other word for, that's the other thing that Bishul means. Okay, so that's mostly true, although you'll note that the Mishnayos and Menachos that talk about olives say that the ones that didn't ripen on the tree, see a Megargaro Barosh Hagag. It means you ripen them on the roof. You have to lay it out, but it's still the sun that's doing the ripening. So you can't say there can't be an instruction to us not to ripen something. Okay? Yeah, why would bread be called chalev? And the answer is you have imchelev kil yoschita. But okay, the od. Why do they even engage in this? Because it's next to another agricultural mitzvah. Okay, but in Dvarim it's next to meat.
Do they eat meat together with cows?
What's that?
I don't know.
I didn't know who these Nachishim were. This doesn't sound to me like a Karaitic interpretation.
So who was
this? This sounds to me more. Ibn Faster said this was an allegorist, not Karaites. So remember, the Ibn Ezra in his Akdamah to the Torah attacks three different approaches to Tanakh, to biblical commentaries. He doesn't love one, and then one he adopts. Right? What are the five positions? One is the way of some of the Gaonim who wrote these very long commentaries containing science and philosophy. Ibn Ezra says that this is the wrong place for it, and there's no proofs here, and so on and so forth. Then he quotes the Karoyim, who he rejects, and attempts to demonstrate the necessity by definition to Shulha. Then he quotes the allegorists. The allegorists were these Jews probably running around in Spain who did not like to observe Torah mitzvahs, so they allegorized away the mitzvahs and the psukim. There's a famous cherem of the Rashba. There's a very long tshuva, but it's mostly names. Names of people who signed on the cherem. See, it's not a new thing. Rabbi is trying to jump on the bandwagon of signing the cherem. Against people who would allegorize various parts of the Torah. But the real concern actually started with mitzvos. That's why Rashbam, living in France, northern France, can write what he does about tefillin, but Ibn Ezra is docheh b'shtei yadayim, right? Because in Rashbam's arena, they weren't wearing tefillin probably, but not because they allegorized it away, just because they couldn't afford it. But in Spain, they weren't wearing tefillin, and they had all sorts of shetalach, right? You know, why? It doesn't really mean tefillin, it's a metaphor, and so on. So what Rashbam could write and sleep at night, Ibn Ezra couldn't afford to tolerate. Anyway, so the Karayim and the allegorizers are two different categories. Then there's the Midrashic anthologies, which Ibn Ezra says are very nice, but we need them, we already have the Midrashim. And of course, there's the Pshat approach, which he likes. Okay, so Ibn Ezra's wild. Okay, let's go to the Ramban. Okay, so that's the time when you're going to bring Bikur Adama. I guess that's the truth is once you're going to the Mikdash, you're going to bring your Bechoros. Yeah, you have to take the food along for the calf. So you take the mother. They want to eat nicely.
Habikurim.
That's why it's going to be Habikurim. Okay. Aval. Yeah, that means
that's more fitting and appropriate.
More fitting and appropriate. If you know that, I can let you add. Ki who?
New Israel Mabra, low Israel official, Bavad Kasher, Yachiru, Tane, Amuna, Mechoshay Adat.
Tane, Amuna, Mechoshay Adat. I don't know who the Ramban is referring to here.
That word is Amuna?
Mechusre Amuna, Tane Amuna, yeah. It's the same, means the same thing. See that form, Mechusre Amuna. In the Gemara, it's told someone who doesn't keep his word in business, even when he's not technically bound. So the word is amana. We would have put a vav in there.
Hatapata.
Amana. Okay. And then.
It seems like it could be a carried interpretation now that only Bishul would be, that seems to be shot.
That could be. Yeah, now that could be a carried interpretation. I don't know how much the Ramban himself deals with carrots. I don't know enough about this. But my sense is Ramban doesn't quote carrots, and I would imagine that most of his knowledge of the carrots would have been via Ibn Ezra. So, okay, and now the other Ramban.
V'tam ki am kadosh atal Hashem alpecha, davak im lo tevash al-gubi b'chaydimo, ki einenu ma'achal nidav, aval yesor oto liotenu kadoshim b'ma'achalim, o liotenu kadoshim shalo niye am akhzari lo yirachmu she'nachlo v'ta'em v'notzi m'mena ma'achalim v'shenevash al-bo hanbe.
All right, stop for a second, and let's understand what the Ramban said. Davak im lo tevash al-gubi b'chaydimo means...
There's
a connection, and it's about Kiddushah.
Yeah.
In other words, remember the Ramban, there are things that the Torah prohibits that are Isur, and then there are things the Torah doesn't prohibit, which are Kiddushah. That's his whole idea of Kiddushim Tiyim. So he says the reason why it says Ki Am Kadosh is Ki Einenu Ma'achal Nidav. It's not a fundamentally prohibited food. Abo Yeser Oso Liosoni Kiddushenu Ma'achalim. Here is a specifically mandated form of Kiddushah. Why would that be? He doesn't explain. Presumably because this is so incredibly delicious or something like that. This is too much indulgent somehow. Okay. Or maybe it's kedoshim.
We can't read the first reason is just the chok that Hashem that it's a way for us to. Are you doing that?
No, paradum is a chok. Refraining from certain kinds of foods might even be a chok. But the fact if something is not fundamentally wrong, but the Torah prohibits it, liyosenu kedoshim b'machalim. There's something there. I don't know exactly what it's something, I think. Okay, Olioseinu Kedoshim, which is actually very interesting. Shalom.
Shalom niya amachzari lo yirachmu shenachlov etayim v'notzi mivena hachalav shenavash avodim.
Which is really interesting, because normally we think of Kiddushah as...
Prishan and Amutar.
What's that?
Basically Prishan, or not Prishan.
Prisha and Amutar, but not about the character building itself is because of the Prisha per se, right? Not because of the inherent nature of the act, right? In other words, if it represents Kiddushah not to eat, you know, a 70-ounce rib steak because that's gluttonous, there's no part of that rib steak per se that is problematic. It is the totality of the action. But here, in other words, I could eat one part of the rib steak today and one tomorrow, one next day. That's perfectly fine. That's not a violation of Kiddushah. Whereas here, it seems to be about actually the act, even on a small scale, on the character of the act. Namely, it's cruel. Even though it's mutter, it's cruel. It's really about, more about It's not the character of the prishah, it's the character of the very specific act. Yehuda?
You just want cash to be related to that. So the version of Rafa means that milk is very rich and expensive and tasty stuff, and so is meat, and eating them both together is too much food.
That's the way I explained the first one. I said that it's too delicious or something like that.
No, it's too delicious.
Okay.
But it follows the path of the rinse thing. You need the milk today, you need the meat tomorrow, and it's perfectly fine.
Right. But here, in other words, it's the character, the flaw would be in Basa B'chal B'chol, in first interpretation, and in general in Kedoshim to you, right? The idea that a person shouldn't be shot of Bezima, Benashim Rabos, and so on, it's not any particular given act, it's the lack of restraint. But this is not about a lack of restraint. Right? This is a very specific act that's problematic, even though it would have been technically mutar. Okay? It's a very different spin on Kedusha. It's important. Because it means that if you're a nasty, not nice person and don't have rachmanis on people, you're not only bad in kosher mishpat, but you also lack kedusha. Okay, fine. Now the afalpi. And that's not. And then the cruelty only makes sense, you know, if it's the offspring in the milk. That's really, you know, it's cruel in the. Think about if you personify the cow watches as its offspring is being cooked in its own milk. That's just too much. So, but it applies to all other Basa B'chol too. So he says, I don't know what he means by who derech habishol, but it's cruel. In other words, even it's not cruel to the cow, but in other words, it's cruel to us when we take the source that gives life and we cook the life in that life-giving source. Yes.
Isn't both where it says shenivasha bohaben and habishal not talking about official cooking, but rather official, like ripening or maturing?
No.
Like they don't mean it.
Oh, you think that's what it means?
Shenivasha, it's like a pun.
No, I don't think so. Because
it's not. How would you? Because
shenivasha
bohaben doesn't mean that it was cooked.
It means that you shouldn't have mercy. That we should. Take the milk from the mother. That will milk the mother. We remove the milk from the mother so that we may cook the bain in it. I understand you're saying Shemash Bo, that we would have raised the bain. I don't think so. It's a clever reading, but I don't think that's what Ramban means.
So then, what is their official here?
I don't know.
It's their official. That's how you raise a child. Right?
Could you be saying that that's what the law is?
That's what I think, but I would have formulated. That's what I assume the Ramban means. And that's bedafka derech bishul, or something like that. That's what I think it means. What you're suggesting is a very novel. It's very clever, but it's a very novel reading of what the word bishul means. Okay. Fine.
The cut of Rashi.
I mean, you can have to, the rest is fine. Okay. Now take a look at Sfarno already. I don't know anything about Sfarno, but was he an acolyte of the Ramban at all?
He quotes
him
pretty often.
Okay, so here the
Sfarma
says,
Lo Sfashel Gidi.
So it seems to be a pagan magical rite. Okay? What's that?
Pagan school.
Yes, we call that Avodah Zarah. Okay. Abizrael Avodah Zarah. Yes. Okay. Now let's take a look at Rabbeinu
B'chayyeh.
Okay, so he says that chalav is made from blood. Right, why? So this is what we mentioned yesterday. Dam nechar v'naseh chalav. He's thinking about the Gemara in Bechoros. And dam is of a poor composition and breeds cruelty. Okay. He sees this, by the way, as metaphysical or physical? Physical. It's like a biological thing. We might say that drinking blood could breed cruelty done in a certain way. In other words, if drinking blood is like, you know, scalping your enemy or something like that. In other words, it's the life-giving force, and I'm showing that I'm drinking the blood. Right? That's not the same thing as not salting the meat. There has to be some blood in it. It's all different. But anyway, so the echad. Right. It doesn't change. It's not digested and transformed in the body like other foods.
That's not true, is it?
No. There are lots of beliefs in medieval medicine that we believe are not true, and we assume are not true.
Okay.
Not because we're geniuses. We have hundreds of years of science having, I would like to think, mostly progressed, at least in its technical aspects. Go ahead.
L'kach tivo hara nishar b'tocho mibli shinoi, v'af al pi shenishtane achshav yudam l'chalek.
Now the kasha, of course, is, then why should we have to drink milk at all? Go ahead.
V'kibel shinoi v'palut shehu atak l'davar acher mikol makom.
So that's why it's okay, because the milk, the blood has been changed. However, so then it should be fine to cook the meat in mikol makom.
Mikol makom, k'shechozer m'arev v'im ha'bazah, harei chozer l'koach adam v'tivo harishon k'batchila.
Right? What do we call that in your day terminology?
Chazer
v'neor, excellent. Chazer v'neor. Fine. So the teva of the blood is reawakened when it comes in contact with the mothership. Okay, go ahead. Okay, fine. And by the idea of nevelos and shkatz and rasim, the tamte mesalev is a concept the Gemara has. The Gemara even assumes that it has an effect on the body, it makes the body warmer. Chadal gufayo, we learn this in Mida, like we'll let the shechvasera, the difference between a b'nei nachmi and b'nei yisrael. Right? And again, those are nice explanations, that's not the reason for the din. Right? A nachmi who goes on a Jewish diet still has the same din. All right, anyway, go ahead. What's the problem here? What should this read, you think? It's supposed to be basar. It's supposed to be, right. Oh, maybe not. So maybe it's not the dag and basar. Okay, no. Then we're going to encounter, my mind skipped there. The mechaber has, some of you know that the mechaber has this idea that not only can you have fish with meat, you can't have fish with milk either, which would fit with this actually, right? It's not, so this does fit in that category, right? Dag with gavina. You know what the Ramah and the Darkei Moshe says about this passage of Beis Yosef? Because the Gemara says it by basar, not by milk. He says, "Nisarim lo basar b'chalav." It's one of the best lines in your day. Nisarim lo basar b'chalav. You got it mixed up. But Sfaradim, many Sfaradim are machmir on this, you know, because the whole B'yatzei Mipi HaRambam, not the Rambam, B'yatzei Mipi HaBeit Yosef, so the Rambam doesn't even quote the din by meat and fish. He just totally omits it. But the Beis Yosef has it by meat, by fish and meat and fish and milk. So this looks a little like a precursor to the Beis Yosef. Shemol etchun arav acholi hataras. The taras, by the way, comes from the Gemara there. The Gemara says, and it's in the sugya of Recha Milsa, that is kashal davaracha, which means taras. Okay, fine. So this is the first approach. The doctors don't hold this weight today anymore. Okay, fine. Cheese is good and fish is good, especially if you're on a low-carb diet, but it's okay to mix them also. Yes, Yossi. Plug up, stuff up. Clogs the arteries, I guess. Okay. But the Harambam. Let's get the next paragraph.
So skip the line.
Yeah.
Harambam zal kata b'zeh tam b'tamen. So, ki mivnei shahay minhag obdei alivim shayi ochlem basar b'chalam b'vei to avotam b'mei chageyem akein ba torah lezor oto. The Amar kata b'kishatavo shalosh p'min b'shana l'beit ha-shem lo'kecha lo tefashel didi b'chalei b'chalei.
Right, it's not a verbatim quote, but that's how he understands the Rambam. This is how the Rambam is classically quoted. And the last thing he says, go ahead.
When I near a kia tamim ha-tamim ha-ela bilti maspikim ve'inam ikar betamim mitzvot, ela litchot et ha-shoal, shari mitzvah zu miklal ha-chukimi, miklal para aduma, misira mishtaleach, v'chein darshu
ha-shoal. Okay, fine. So he always argues that really, really, really it's a chok. The last thing I want to just comment on the Rambam. There is, some of you know this from Intro to Bible, there is a, when the texts of Ugarit were discovered, so there was a, so I forget who was the one who was responsible for handling it, Christian scholar, but I'm trying to remember who it was, and he discovered America, that the Rambam was right, because there was a passage in one of the Ugaritic texts that spoke about being Dabach, God Bachalav, or something like that. So it's not exactly the same things, but it looks like slaughtering a kid in its mother's milk. And you see that Maimonides was correct. That was the reason. You see that in these Canaanite texts that they were doing such things. The only few problems. Number one is that the reconstruction, some of the text was reconstructed. Number two, the word God probably means coriander. And number three, there's no mention of Bishul here either. So it's something to do with coriander seed and butter. And I don't know if the reconstruction of Chalav didn't work and it was supposed to be maybe Chama or something like that. But the bottom line is that it was a nice try, but no cigar. Now, the truth is that if you hunt online, you can find Professor Jeffrey Tige of the University of Pennsylvania has an article about this. Although I don't remember if he bothers to cite Rashbam, but it does seem to come back more or less to the same thing. The idea, it's hinted to in Chazal already, we talk about pre and pre. The idea of taking something and cooking it in its life-giving source, there's a kind of cruelty or something like that. I think that's the way he tries to explain it there, which is not really a new explanation. It's not the Rambam. It's more likely, I suspect, to be pshat. The presence of that pasuk in Dvarim makes it very hard to argue that it's a cultic, right? Now, the Rambam's whole argument is based upon the fact that it's based Hashem al kechal lo sfashel gidi b'chal yimel, but that doesn't exactly explain the pasuk in Dvarim. So anyway, so these are the various explanations that have been offered by the Rishon to try to explain the root of the Isser Basar B'chalav. Outside of Ibn Ezra, they're all interesting. Ibn Ezra's is really interesting, but I'm not sure that in a good way. And the bottom line is, it certainly, regardless of any of the reasons, it certainly may fall into the category of Chok, as the Rabbi Chaya suggests in the end. Okay, any questions about that? So now it's time to turn our attention to the Gemara. I want to start. We're going to move at, you should do Gemara and Rashi carefully. Some of you I had a discussion with, this is not, it's not the Bikias in the sense that the Bikias means that you read through and only have a vague understanding of what Rashi says, so then that's not the Bikias. But you should actually understand the Gemara carefully. When it comes relevant to looking at Tosfos, I'll ask you, I didn't really ask you to look at Tosfos here because for the most part what we're trying to pull from the Gemara right now is just to get the overview of the scope of Basar B'Challah. So I want to start at the beginning of the parent. Thank you very much, Daniel. Let us see. Hello. The Chabad asked with the first segment, please. Okay, what would be included in Kala Basar then?
Chaya.
Chaya and Oaf. The only question that remains is, would it include Behema Tveya as well? In other words, kalabasar presumably could mean all kosher flesh. It doesn't necessarily have to go behemoth tveya, but it would include chayav oaf. As Rashi points out immediately, daf agav damar rachmana gedil hu adin lechayav oaf. Umiflik pliyi bala kamon, ikalaman damar deraisav, ikalaman damar derabbanon. Rashi, notice what's in parentheses. What does it say there? Kufi gilalal. Be where? Rashi did not write these. Why do I know Rashi didn't write them?
Because the pagination happened.
Pagination is a product of the first complete printing of the Shas in Venice in the 1520s. So Rashi could not possibly have put the Daf citations in. You know the Rishonim always refer to stuff in Bishilei Pirka, Bishilei Perak X, you know, Bereish Perak X. So obviously, you didn't need to know that to realize Rashi didn't put that in. There are cases I can show you in Shas where the printers made a mistake, and they're actually very misleading when they put in the wrong citation. You might even find, there's a case in the beginning of the sixth parak of Brachos, where they refer you to one Gemara, where the words that Rashi refers to appears, but that's not the Gemara Rashi had in mind. He actually had a different Gemara in mind. So here, I don't know if it matters, but I'm not sure, when Rashi says, it doesn't have to be in Kufiyot Gimel Med Aleph. It could be.
Could be the next
Amud. I suspect that the printer's right here, but it's not Mochach. In other words, there is no Manda Omar both ways on Kuftal and Aleph. You have Rav Ashi acknowledging that there are Manda Omrim. The actual Manda Omrim are on Daf Kufi Gimel. So just, I don't think it matters so much here one way or the other, even if you think the printers are wrong, but just be aware. Most of the time it's not going to matter. Most of the time, most of us don't know very much, including myself, so it's useful to have the printers putting the citations so we can actually find the Gemara, but sometimes it can actually be misleading. Okay, so it sounds like you're not allowed to cook any basar in chalav, except for basar, dagin, v'chagagim. Fish, and grasshoppers. Okay, next. Okay, you're not allowed to put on the same table flesh and milk except for fish flesh and grasshoppers. As Tosis points out, you really don't need this if you're allowed to cook them. The whole reason you're not allowed to put them on the table together presumably is you might come to cook them together. You know, that's the ultimate root. And if it's mutter to cook the dagim and chagavim in chalav, obviously can't be asur to be mala al shulchan. Finally, in style the Mishnah, having nothing to do with Aram Masechta, but because it's the same literary formulation, hanoder. And obviously, you know, if you know a little bit about Nadarim, you know it's totally fundamentally irrelevant to here, even before you read the Gemara, because you know that it makes no difference what halachically the category of Basar is in Maseches Nadarim. All that matters in Maseches Nadarim is Lashon B'nei Adam. Yes.
Unless this is just saying that, like, the dinim that, like, we can learn what people mean. Reason that what people mean when they say Basar is Chayvei Min Oaf is because.
In other words, when you ask someone, are they fleshing? Means have they eaten meat? So the reason,
including chai behema and oaf, and not including fish.
Correct. In other words, fish flesh is flesh. But when a person, when you ask them, are you fleshic? Are you meat? Obviously, in the same way that only Jews think that vegetarian means that you eat fish. What's that? That's actually an excellent example of it, right? Where in our culture, you say vegetarian, and you think, oh, a vegetarian doesn't eat meat, therefore a vegetarian might eat fish, right? So that's actually good. Okay. So anyway, but halachically, they're certainly not tied to one another. If all of a sudden we decided that basar meant something else, it meant oranges, so I know that a basar would be usar in oranges and be allowed to eat beef. Yehuda.
So could we be saying the other way around? Could we say in the basar me adam that the mitzvah happens to line up with basar me adam? Basar
b'chala? I don't think so. I don't think so. I understand, but this is the style of Mishnah, putting things together that have nothing to do with one another. But just because literarily they fit the same category. Which did we change the halacha? Okay. But you could actually hold like both. In other words, you could adopt two Tanaim positions. It's only a superficial stira. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says. So the Gemara immediately jumps in and says, "Oh, awesome!" The Raisa. Why does the Gemara say that? How can he be dying from the Mishnah? What's that?
Rashi says it's because of when the Darwin we go after Hashem. And
really, where does Rashi says that? Rashi doesn't say anything. No, he says Chasal v'dai tachay yisu the masisim the Raisa kamar. The rest is on the continuation of the Gemara. I would posit, by the way, that these two sugyos are chronologically out of order. That the Gemara already knows Shitas Rav Yosef in the second part of this Gemara. Because Rav Yosef, Shmamina, Basar Of Bechalav Doraisa. Right? In other words, we're making a gezeira not to be Ma'al Al HaShulchan Kol Basar. And if that's the case, presumably it's because there's an Issa Doraisa of cooking Of. It's assumed that obviously Kol HaBasar includes Of. That's obvious. And if it's also Laloso Al HaShulchan, it must be because there isn't root. There isn't issur d'oraisa in it. Otherwise, you wouldn't make a gzera on bimala b'sar of. At least the Gemara thinks at this point, ala shulchan im hagavina. Right. Ultimately, there will be an answer that's given. It's a little bit of a dach of teretz, right? It's not actually a bad argument that if there's an issur gzera, you have to say that the gzera was a broad gzera, kulachad gzera in effect. That once they made a gzera, not putting if you hold up b'sar of b'chalav is the rabbanan, you have to say once they made the gzera about bimala b'sar ala shulchan. They included all basar and even things that are the rabbanim. But I think that the diuk of the Gemara is based upon the knowledge already, either of the next sugya, or at least the Gemara is already thinking in the terms that underlie Rabbi Yosef's comment. Fine. So what's the problem?
So Kiban, the word Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, Hamar Chayav Of in a Minotaur.
And it's very interesting. Rabbi Akiva holds a Chayav Of in a Minotaur. How do we know that? Because the Mishnah later in the parak, Anaf Kofi Gimel. But here's the interesting thing. Rabbi Akiva says that Chayav Of is not min haTorah. But, what is it? Asur mid Rabbanan. What is Asur mid Rabbanan according to Rabbi Akiva? This is a we paskin very clearly, but this is a crucial question of the machlokas arishonim. What is usher according to Rabbi Akiva mid Rabbanu?
You think is it just a fila or is it bishul also?
We're brainwashed. If you know Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that any basar b'chala that's mutter mid Torah is only usher mid Rabbanu b'chila. That's a general starting principle. I don't know if there are zero exceptions, but you might have any exceptions for that. But when you read this sugya, and we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, we paskin Rabbi Akiva by oaf. And we pass like Rabbi Akiva by Chaya. The question is, Rabbi Akiva holds it's mutter min haTorah, but it's asur min derabbanan. What's asur min derabbanan? So when you read this Mishnah, the Mishnah is very clear. And even the Gemara's presentation of Rabbi Akiva is very clear. Of course it's asur min derabbanan to cook basar b'chalav by besar oaf. It's just not asur min haTorah. Right? But the Gemara thought at this point that for some reason the Mishnah's mashma that it's an issur d'oraisa to cook it, maybe because the fact that we make a gzeir b'imal al haShulchan. So now, now says the Gemara, Ema Seifa.
Ema Seifa, Mutter Min HaBasar, Mutter, sorry, Dagim HaKhagavim, Ha'ov, Asur.
Ah, so fowl is Asur. So now, Asa'on.
Atam Rabbi Akiva, Damar Kol Mili B'Mimlach Alei HaShliach, Bar Minei.
Now we're talking about Lashem and Adam, so there's an Achlokas as the Gemara explains. When we're not sure about how to whether or not something is included in the neder, I said I won't eat any vegetables. I won't eat any legumes. So I send my shaliach. What happens if I send my shaliach to the shuk? Marta bas baitas. Don't hire her shaliach, whatever you do. Okay? You know what?
The
comes or comes in. Marta bas baitas sends him to get white flour. He comes back. She says, there's no white flour anymore. She says, okay, go get holy flour. He comes back and says, there's no holy flour. Okay, each time he goes, right, and he doesn't think that, okay, we're running out of food here, just get the next grade down and ask questions later. Right, so by the time the story goes through, it's in Kamsa or Kamsa, and goes three or four, he comes back and she says, I better go myself, right, and then she steps on that, on Rabbi Hanina Ben Dosa's, who was Rabbi Hanina Ben Dosa, was the one? Rabbi Tzadok, the figs that he had, some say that what she stepped on and died was the figs that Rabbi Tzadok had used, that the doctors had cured him with, you know, that he had to suck the juice out of the figs, so. Anyway, so don't hire Martha Basbaitis' grocery deliverer. So anyway, you send your shaliach to the shuk, and you say, please go get me some vegetables. So he comes back and said, they had no vegetables, but they had apples. Okay, well, so Rabbi Akiva says the shaliach doesn't do that. We all agree with the shaliach does. He doesn't come back and say, they had no apples. He comes back and says, that they had no vegetables, but they had, you know, some, I don't know, pick your thing. You know, something close to a vegetable.
Potatoes,
fine. Okay? They had potatoes, okay? Or if it's the Reagan era, they had some ketchup, okay? So the question is, what does that mean when he comes back? They didn't have what they didn't have X, but they had some Y. The fact that the shliach bothers, he doesn't come back and say, they had no vegetables, but they had milk. The shliach doesn't do that, right? Because he understands it's not the baba inyan. Totally irrelevant. So the question is, something that a shaliach would come back and consult on. He would make the decision, but he would think to ask you, what's the din? Is that bechlal or not? So the Gemara says that anicha, the Mishnah says, according to me, an assumption is, if you send someone to the supermarket, I send Shulman, I said, Shulman, get me some meat, right? He comes back and doesn't come back to my house and say, Rebbe, here's the chicken cutlets. What are you talking about? I asked for meat. Now, okay, chicken is meat, so he might come back and say, Rebbe, you know, Vlad Express was out of meat, but they did have chicken. Would you like me to get some chicken for you? But today, of course, you don't have this problem, but despite this, you just pick up the cell phone and you call. So, okay. Anyway, but Shulman calls me and says, Rebbe said, they have chicken. You want chicken? They have no meat. So that's because chicken is sort of bechlal meat. So the Gemara says, Asan Rabbi Akiva, the Amar Kol Mila L'Mechal Shliach Bar Minehu. It's considered part in Lashon Erev. The Tanya.
Tanya, Hanu Dimenei Erek, Mutter Pidluin.
You can have Dluin. What are Dluin?
Gourds.
Pumpkins. Okay. Does pumpkin have a different modern Hebrew word, or it's the last?
Lot.
Okay. So fine. He says there are pumpkins. Okay. So Ella. So they said. He says Lasad Gluin. He doesn't. So it's not a vegetable. So Amar Lahan.
Amar
Lahan, he responds.
Amar Lahan,
Yeah, exactly. That's my proof. It's like Misham Raya. Don't read it as a question. Read it either way. Misham Raya. Right? Klom Omer lo. Lo matzati ela kitnis. This doesn't say to him, you know, I only found beans. Rather, ella.
Ella shed ruin b'chol yarek.
Kitnis.
Being kitnis b'chol yarek.
Okay, so now the problem is that Reisha.
Reisha Rabbanan b'sefer Rabbi Akiva.
Okay, so I'm Rabbi Yosef.
I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi he v'nasev la aliva d'tanai
b'nidara. Unless aliva d'tanai. He, in other words, Rebbe adopted two different shitas, which is not so odd, because in this case, they're two totally unrelated shitas. Okay, Benedarim.
Benedarim, Sabar la Karabi Akiva, Vasa Bechala, Sabar la Karabana.
Right, there's a famous Tosefta that Gemara talks about in Yerufin or Sukha. It's a few places, I forget where. Kalarutza las is Kedibre Beshamai Osa, Kedibre Besil Osa. Right, so either kikule beshamay ukechumrayon or kikule beisil ukechumrayon. You have to be consistent. But the Gemara explains in a couple of places in Shas that's only true when the two different things are when the two different practices are kulos ukechumras the sasriya adadi. The Gemara exam gives the example: what is considered a chisaron in the shidra? How many vertebrae can be missing to render the animal a treifa? One or two? I don't remember who holds which, but it's a kula in Tumas Mace. If you say that one holya is considered a chisaron, it's a humra in Hilchas Trefos, it's a kula in Tumas Mace. Because once it's missing that holya, once it's missing that single vertebrae, it's a trefa, but it's also no longer considered a shidva v'gugala shlema. So the point is, it's only when it's a tarak d'isasri. So Rebbe, you're not going to have to pass with Rebbe Akiva in every issue. Sometimes he passes with Rebbe Akiva, sometimes he passes with otherwise. Fine. So Rav Ashi Amar, no. And by the way, Rebbe Yosef there concedes the premise of the question, which is that basar of b'chalav is also min haTorah, which is consistent with Rebbe Yosef's diuk in the very next sugya. Now, Rav Ashi Amar.
Rav Ashi Amar, kula Rebbe Akiva, b'chalav kama, basar aso Rav Ashi b'chalav.
Okay. Which makes clear, at least at this point, Rav Ashi holds that according to Rav Akiva, Basar o b'chalav is asr to cook. It's only asr to rabbanim, but it is asr to cook. Okay. Fine. And now, very quickly, the last part of the sugya.
I didn't do this part.
Okay. Metzger. Of the Halad Amid Aleph. The bottom, Amar Rabbi Yosef.
Amar Yosef, I'm not involved in the case. Amar Yosef, Shalom Yah, Bazar O, Bukhala, Dereza. Yisab Adaita, Derebanan, Achila Gufa, Xera.
Vana Nigzar, Hama Atu Achila. Okay, so we're going to make basically if Achila, if only thing that's awesome enough, Hora is Bishal. Okay, and if the bishul is only asur mid the rabbanon, so we're going to make a gezeira. Well, they're not even say it. They're going to say achilas davar hamavushal is only the rabbanon. So then we're going to make a gezeira that you can't put them on the shulchan together unless you come to eat them cooked together. That's gezeira the gezeira because eating them cooked together is only the rabbanon. So the Gemara says the Gemara does something very funny here. Right, there are three funny things about this. What is the next words in the Gemara? How do you know you can't make Xera the Xera? Very funny proof they bring. They bring a case where they didn't make such Xera. And the Gemara then will reject them as grounds. How do we know we don't make Xera the Xera? So Rashi quotes, Sushmartem is the Mishmarti, Asa Mishmeris the Mishmarti, Lo Mishmeris the Mishmeris. So Rashi and Bates, I think, that Bays and Bays. As far as I know, there's no source for this Rashi. There's no Rashi that we have extant in Chazal about Xera the Xera. So then why can't so? And the truth is, as you well know, this is a rule of convenience the Gemara invokes when it wants to and not when it doesn't want to. Because you can think of, all we said, all of us in a challah, not waiting between milk and meat is exera that you might come to eat them together. Eating them together is exera you might come to cook them together. So basically, this is a clear gzera. If you want to go a step further, if it were besar oaf, it's a gzera. You cannot eat, there are rishon and mahalad, you can eat milk after chicken, actually. But we hold.
For this reason?
What?
For
this
reason.
It's based upon the Gemara Amud Beis. Ochel gvino nechalim bet bikoren. We're going to explore that so when we get to the next sim on Mefta Pezayim. So there are some rishonim actually hold that it's only on beef. I suspect, the answer to your question is yes. That's why ochel gvino nechalim bet bikoren, because sour pechal is only the Rabbanon. Yes, but that's not why, it's not because of the rishonim say it would be exer. But basically, you can't eat milk after chicken, xera that you might come to eat them together, which is xera you might come to cook them together, which is xera you might come to cook but real beef, b'chalav. Okay. And I won't talk about, I won't even talk about separate dish towels then. Fine. So Rabbi Yosef, now the Gemara says, how do I know that you don't make xera? It's not. So chal and chutz laretz is only midrabanan. So the Braisa says, or the Mishnah says, that you're allowed to eat that chala normally. Like if one person is eating, it would appear that if you're not coming, you're not supposed to eat, as a general rule, at the table with food that someone else at the table is not allowed to eat. So if I have chala midaraisa, clearly it's assumed that you cannot eat it at the table with a zar. And so all kohanim beware. So now, what happens if you have chalas chutz laretz, which is only midrabanan, was instituted, I think, shalot tishtachach toros chalam Yisrael. So then, the Braisa says you can eat it with the zar on the shulchan. Why? Presumably because eating it on the shulchan itself is a zera. If chalas chutz laretz itself is only zera atu chal in Eretz Yisrael, so then it'd be zera. That's why they didn't prohibit it. So amar le abaye. If you had taught me a case where you have chalas chutz laretz that someone brought to Eretz Yisrael, and there you where it's relevant to make gzera atu chalas haaretz, and yet the lo gazrinan, and yet they weren't to make gzera, then you could learn and go to gzera. Ella, right? Because there's no reason to make gzera whatsoever in chutz laretz. You don't have chalas Eretz Yisrael there. It's true. In other words, you don't make gzera l'gzera when it's impossible to shayach to lead to anything. But yes, so then they're not going to make such a distinction. Okay, so that's it's not a raya. In other words, it could be that you have to make gzera on halos ofim agvina ala shulchan, because if you don't, people end up eating basar b'chalav. So now, maskif law. So what? Who is this question against?
The halal shulchan, what the last.
No. So Rashi and Tosfos point out this question goes back on Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, you were arguing that basar of b'chalav must be the oraisa, because otherwise you wouldn't make it zera on halal. So the Gemara says, maskif law, Rav Sheshe, so it's still tzonei b'tzonei who. It's still l'gzera. Meaning you're saying you can't put out ofan l'gvina ala shulchan because you might come to eat them together. Eating together is also only the Rabbanon. Right? Eating basar and chalav together is only the Rabbanon. The only isser, minatora, of eating them is when you cook them together, then eating them. So now, Amar Abaye. Maybe you'll put it on a hot plate together. So the Gemara says, and that's why it's not a gzera l'gzera. In other words, you're not a Latin of Rabbi Yosef's Havamina. Is that the reason why they would ask if yechilas of basar of b'chalav is d'oraisa? So the reason they would go is on halal or shulchan, because if you put them on the same shulchan together, you will come to eat them together on a hot plate. So now the Gemara says,
klisheni
is not mevashel. Okay, and one would argue here, by the way, this certainly should prove that a klisheni is not a mevashel, even kidei klipa. What might a klisheni do? I hope you haven't forgotten yet. No. It might be mavliya or maflit kidei klipa, the shita, the rashba, maybe the tor. But it's not going to be mevashel kedei klipa. The only thing that might be mevashel kedei klipa is irimi klevishon. That's a big machlokas harishon. But certainly a klisheni is not going to be mevashel later. It might cause the absorption of flavor according to some rishon, but not be mevashel. So the Gemara says, so klisheni mevashel. Ella. Maybe you take, they used to, I don't eat in restaurants that much, but they used to have in some of the Chinese restaurants, they would bring out this like dish that had been on the flame and they put it in the middle of the table. You're taking stuff out of it. It was really, really, really hot. I assume they cooked it in it.
Yeah.
And it was a style of survey. So that is kli rishon until it gets below yatzel levis. If you put milk and meat in that together on the table, kli rishon is mevashel, it's in issur d'oraisa. So what we're saying is the following. Rabbi Yosef's taina was that it would be a gzeira. Rabbi Yosef says that it's a gzeira le gzeira. And the gzeira, and it's only a gzeira le gzeira though, if bisar of b'chala is midarabanan. If it's midaraisa, so then the reason why you're not allowed to put it on the shulchan is lest you come to put it in an ilfas rishon on the shulchan. And therefore, it's not a gzeira le gzeira. Whereas if bisar of b'chala were only the rabanan in the first place, it would automatically be gzeira. We don't make gzeira. But the Gemara, what they fundamentally rejected, what Abaye, was it Abaye who said to him? Was the Gemara who said to him, is that you don't have a raya. In effect, what was the Gemara's answer? Rabbi Yosef says it must be deraisa, because otherwise be gzeira. How do you know you don't make gzeira? Quotes a Mishnah, and we say, wrong, that Mishnah doesn't teach you that you don't make gzeira. That doesn't prove anything. What does that Mishnah prove? It means you don't make a far-fetched, wild, out-of-this-world gezeirah that has no connection whatsoever, that can never remotely lead to anything wrong. That's all it means. But, so what's the answer then? Is Rav Yosef correct or not, according to the sugya? In other words, the Gemara goes on to explain why, and the Gemara then asks, but even according to you, Rav Yosef, it's gezeirah legzeirah. The Gemara answers, no, that's the maska of Rosh Hashanah. The answer is, no. For Rav Yosef, if he's right, it would be gezeirah legzeirah. Gezeirah shami ala be'ofas rishon. So I want to know, what is the maskan of the Gemara then? Right, the Gemara, so it seems the maskan of the Gemara is not to have accepted Rabbi Yosef. Because Rabbi Yosef said, Umina Tamer, how do I know you don't make me Zera like Zera? And the answer was, you're wrong. That Mishnah doesn't prove you don't make Zera Zera. That proves you don't make a far-fetched Zera. But the Chachamim would probably say, the other Gemara would say in response to Rabbi Yosef, no, here, if I let you, as it's not so far-fetched, if I let you we're going to have one thing. If I let you bring up oaf and alagvina ala shulchan, eventually you're going to put basar in alagvina ala shulchan, the ofas risha. One last thought, which I'll leave you with and then we'll stop. Why shouldn't you be able to make exera like exera? So Rashi, I mentioned, quotes that particular pasuk. Is there a different reason? Because we don't actually have that source. The Rambam, I think in Hilchos Mamrim somewhere, says that if the Chachamim are not allowed to make gezeiros, but they're not allowed to misrepresent what they're doing as a din d'oraisa if it's a din d'rabbanan. That would violate what?
Baltosef.
So one might argue that a gezeira l'gezeira at a certain point is somehow violates the spirit of Baltosef and not Baltosef mamish. Because once there's really no concern that why you should have to make gezeira, in doing so, you are effectively creating a new mitzvah. You are not making a fence for an old mitzvah. Avi, was that whole thing off? Does that...